Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with us, we have today Kate Ransom and Lisa Vopel from Seraphine String Quartet. Did I pronounce your names correctly?
Yes.
The French one.
That's very close.
Vopel.
Vopel. There you go.
Sounded good.
Thank you. Well, thanks to both of you for having the time to come and visit us. And as always, Seraphine String Quartet always has good news. And willing to share those news. Let's just go straight to bring up to people's memories about Seraphine String Quartet. Maybe Kate, could you please refresh what you guys are all about and what you do
okay.
in general?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, Seraphine String Quartet gave its debut in the Carnegie Recital Hall, now mm-hmm. known as Weill Recital Hall in New York City, in 2004. We are mm-hmm. based in Delaware. Mm-hmm. We do most of our rehearsing in the Wilmington area. Mm-hmm. And we are the quartet in residence for the University of Delaware. So at the University of Delaware, we work with young chamber music mm-hmm. students in the music department. Mm-hmm. We do on campus what we call informances. We collaborate within the music department and mm-hmm. with other departments mm-hmm. to do all sorts of performance activities on campus. And then we do outreach and recruitment on behalf of the university throughout the United States.
There you go. So, and reading your bio in the website, this is a very distinguished company that you have in there. So, how did you get together in the first place? What was the need behind, or what originated Seraphine String Quartet?
Well, believe it or not, in 2001, mm-hmm. the quartet was asked, I was asked to put a string quartet together specifically to play one concert at the Wilmington Public Library.
Just one concert?
One concert. They were experimenting at the library with doing some performances.
Okay.
And bringing people in for art as well at that mm-hmm. point. And so I said, I had been arranging chamber concerts in Wilmington, so mm-hmm. for example at First and Central Presbyterian Church, mm-hmm. putting together groups mostly with piano and strings.
Mm-hmm.
But at Wilmington Public Library, they wanted a string quartet. I said, well, I think I can do that.
So
I
put a group... That's right, part of my forte.
Right, I think I can figure this out. So I did put a group together, mm-hmm. and the original membership included Luigi Mazzocchi, mm-hmm. Tony Simmons, myself, and a cellist who lived in the Fort Washington, Pennsylvania area.
Okay.
And we prepared for a whole year because this, undertaking a program of string quartet works is, a serious business. It takes a lot of time to do justice mm-hmm. to it. It's not something you can really throw together.
Wing it is not necessarily the type of thing right. that you just wing it one night and that's it.
Right. So it came up to be time for the concert, and the promoter, the presenter at the Wilmington Public Library said, okay, what's the name of your group? And I said, well, we don't have a name. He said, well, I need a name for your group so that I can do some promotion. I said, well, let me work on that. So I made up the name Seraphine String Quartet, uh-huh. Seraphine being the name of the maker of my violin.
Right, that was one of the questions. Why the name? And there you go, sure enough.
A guy named Sancta Seraphine. Uh-huh. Made my violin in 1728 uh-huh. In Venice. And so that's the name we used. And then we had such a good time preparing for the concert that the four of us decided to move forward and do more concerts. And then David Shalott at First and Central Church mm-hmm. Kind of simultaneously asked me about doing a residency program there. Mm-hmm. So that gave the quartet a reason to have to prepare up to four major concerts every year for quite a few years.
And that was a good reason to stay together.
Yeah. Now, membership has changed and evolved over time, and uh-huh. we welcomed Lisa Vopel to our group after a national search to mm-hmm. replace a longtime first violinist, Tim mm-hmm. Schwartz, who was moving on to another job mm-hmm. that would preclude his ability to stay in the quartet. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a delight to welcome Lisa. She's worked with us now going on 2 years, 1.5 years, and even the process of choosing each other, because mm-hmm. Quartet, you don't just fill a spot. The person who's coming into the group is every bit as much choosing the rest of you as you are choosing that person.
That's a good point. It's probably even, well, the closest to that is marriage, I think.
Yeah, there's some bad jokes about that, which I won't repeat on the air.
Because you select each other. Did you feel that way, Lisa?
When
you
were... certainly. Yes. I had my questions that I definitely ran by the quartet when I was doing the audition. And well, I mean, my audition in quotes was, you know, not just a single hour or anything. We spent... How many hours did we spend? Over 20 hours together determining...
Like questioning each other or playing and questioning?
Mostly playing, a lot of musical questioning, I guess you could call it. We rehearsed together. I guess the process started by just reading together, which means four people get together and you know, bring the same music and you know, prepare ahead of time. But you're just sort of playing, you know, at your best level, just with people you've never played with before, necessarily, you know. You might have run across them in certain other circumstances,
so
but
that gives certainly a different spin to speed dating. This is not by any stretch of the imagination. Speed dating.
We should look to speed dating, I suppose. Get our process going. So then we rehearsed. We actually had some, you know, as if we were preparing for a concert, and then a few days later they called me back and said, "How about
a second session,
and that second session is going to include an actual concert."
Oh, okay.
So this was months later. We planned this. I think they were interviewing other folks along the way, and so I think maybe 3 months later, we had several intense days of actual rehearsing for an hour-long concert that we played, and that was, you know, a very interesting gauge of, you know, what's going to happen when we're in the moment.
Well, that's an interesting spin that I was not expecting to get, but this is quite informing. I had no idea how intense that might be, but you described Kate in a very nice way. You spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. You have to communicate to each other without even saying words, but musically speaking. So how do you get the clues, but just by rehearsing and spending time together?
It's I mean, I think playing string quartets and working together as a string quartet, it's a very complex dynamic in how you relate. And you're hitting on some of the key points. You have to relate without words when you're making the music. But then you have to relate with words when you're working it out in rehearsal. Mm-hmm. You have to make decisions together because you're also a business partnership.
Right.
You're going to be earning money and managing money together. You're going to make decisions about artistic things.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make decisions about the promotion and advancement of your business, if you will, what concerts to take or not to take. You're pooling your resources at every level. And then you're going to spend a lot of intense time together and you're going to be making a lot of artistic decisions that are passionately driven. Everyone comes from their own point of view. We take it all really to heart and really seriously. So it's a very, very special meeting ground for four people. And so compatibility, sense of humor, these things are important to us. Point of view, even worldview, it's important that we are aligned enough and in sync at so many levels.
There's
a very, very happy Seraphim String Quartet right now and about as compatible a four-way relationship as I could even dream of. I've been in other quartets, as have the others, other ensembles, and we have just an extraordinary meeting ground right now around what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what we want to do through it and with it.
Let's, since we are talking about this intense relationship, what happens in the middle of a concert?
All kinds of things.
Yeah, I know. But let's assume that some of you, whoever, you detect like a slight error or things that happen as every human being. How do you communicate at that moment in time? Do you cover for each other? You tell me how that happened, Lisa.
Sure, I kind of love those moments because that's the spontaneity of what it is when you're playing in a group and somebody does something you're not expecting and nobody there is there to react except, you know, the four of us. We don't have a conductor who's going to make some on the spot decision, which is great because we're each responsible for that particular, I guess, relationship.
Right.
And to me, when we come across those kind of moments in a concert, it just sort of sometimes I might laugh, you know, to myself, probably not out loud, but I like those sort of, okay, we're taking a new direction.
Right.
We didn't maybe rehearse this exactly like this, but that's kind of the best kind of moment because the newness of what happens after that can be really
incredible. So you just embrace the situation.
Well, what? Yeah. Real-time music making is mm-hmm. so exciting, and that's why people who get acquainted with and start to understand about live performance is that even when everything's going just right, it's always a new experience. You never know what is going to happen.
What happens, since music is so personal, particularly for both of you, what happens when you are actually taken by the music to the point that you're playing and you continue playing without even knowing that you are doing something maybe in a way at that moment in time original?
Well, David Bromberg said a great thing to me one time when we were chatting about music. We were talking about how you rehearse and you rehearse and practice, and you do it 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then what he said was, and then the most important thing is to forget all that and just
let it be
with the music. Another interesting thing, though, about us musicians,
mm-hmm.
You know, we feel the music very passionately and we craft what we're doing a lot in the Seraphim Quartet, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly like, say, jazz, where it mm-hmm. is, by definition, supposed to be in the moment spontaneous. We spend a lot of time saying, here's what we believe this phrase or this character of the music mm-hmm. is about, mm-hmm. and here's what we want to do, and here's how we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, when you get into the performance setting, you might be in a little bit different tempo than you would have expected
mm-hmm.
because somebody might be in this mood or that mood. They might mm-hmm. be feeling elevated or not.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a little excited about being mm-hmm. in the concert setting versus in rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, practice, and plan, and then you go
just
with
let
what
it
happens.
Be. Let it go. And you have a very busy end of the year, so we're going to go there. But let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that you are listening to Delaware State of the Arts, a news radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. We have today Seraphim String Quartet and Kate Ransom and Lisa Vopel. Am I improving my French?
Perfect.
There you go. So let's go back to, since now we have our memories refreshed with this beautiful Seraphim String Quartet and the relationship. I love that concept of a relationship. It's really, it describes a lot what you guys are doing. But let's talk about what you have, the plans for the rest of the year, what's in the pipeline. What do you want to share and people need to know so they enjoy the music with you?
I'd like to add to that. So, you know, we are a relationship in the four people that mm-hmm. we, you know, mm-hmm. comprises our group. But our one of our main mission mm-hmm. Purposes is connecting with an audience. So developing our relationship with the audience.
There you go. So
it's so important for us to always feel like, you know, maybe after the concert, during the concert, we've established some sort of new connection mm-hmm. to every audience member. And we're out in Kennett Square for a mm-hmm. few concerts coming up where we have a Sip and Savor series. Mm-hmm. And we're really trying to connect to the audiences. We do some talking in our performances, mm-hmm. but we're really trying to open people's minds to what the pieces are that we're bringing to them mm-hmm. in a different way than they might have experienced them before. So we come up with connections to sometimes literature, poetry, sometimes current events or historical events.
Mm-hmm.
And we really put these pieces in some sort of context for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we want it to be a very hands-on experience. We often talk to, you know, the folks who come to our concerts afterwards and love their mm-hmm. feedback, you mm-hmm. know, in sort of telling us what was new for them or what mm-hmm. was special. And so two of those concerts coming up, we're playing the Grieg G Minor String Quartet.
November 5th at Kennett Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. This venue is informal.
Mm-hmm.
You can order some food there. You can BYOB.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very comfortable atmosphere. And we're doing these Sip and Savor series, total of three, two mm-hmm. coming up. November 5th, they're all Wednesday nights at 7:30. They last about an hour. So it's not a huge time commitment mm-hmm. for busy people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to deconstruct Grieg's string quartet. He was the foremost Norwegian composer and probably still stands there today. But he wrote this wonderful piece. Each piece is like a universe unto itself. And we're going to do a little bit of deconstructing and then play the whole piece for the audience after we bring them into that universe a little more closely. So it's a lot of fun.
When is that happening? That one
Wednesday, November 5th.
Okay.
And then right after we'll be at on the 7th at University of Delaware. That's a Friday night. And we will be collaborating with the wonderful favorite locally and very experienced collaborator, Julie Nishimura, at the piano in the Schumann Piano Quintet, plus a work by Janacek and a work by Mozart. Just an extraordinary group of pieces. And we're very excited to collaborate with our colleague, Julie.
There you go. Well, gosh, like the only way of keeping up with you guys, the Serafina String Quartet, is not the Kardashians. That's a different thing. But with Serafina String Quartet, is going to the website, maybe. How can people know what you guys have in the pipeline?
That's the best way, because there's always something coming up. There's a lot more than we could talk about today. So it's serafinquartet.org. And yeah, the whole calendar of our activities through
can
the rest
of the
season.
Can they buy tickets just going to...
The tickets are handled by each venue, so we actually don't handle that ourselves. But the information how to reach the venue is there on the website.
There you go.
Serafin Quartet.
Now, as musicians...
I should spell it, though, right? S-E-R-A-F-I-N Quartet.
There you go.
O-R-G.
And Serafin is actually the name of an angel.
Seraph, right.
I don't know if at least in Spanish.
Yeah, Seraph.
Serafin.
Yeah.
In any event, let me ask, as musicians, that was a question that I wanted to ask. There's always a musician that connects personally with you. And maybe that evolves over time. Who's the one that is talking to each one of you these days?
Oh, we're pretty into Janacek right now.
Is that right?
I like to say my favorite piece is the one I'm playing, because... We're so fortunate in the quartet repertoire being so rich, and composers like Beethoven wrote 17 string quartets, and Mozart, Haydn wrote 100, and Mozart wrote 23. We have riches, riches, and each one is a universe unto itself, and each one is a gem.
How about you, Lisa?
Well, I have to say that Janacek has really been speaking to me recently. I had played Janacek before, but not in the... in the in-depth kind of way. We've been exploring Janacek, and I know we've all read a lot of his writings. The quartet we're playing is called Intimate Voices. It was originally called Love Letters, and it was based on his longtime passion for this woman, Kamila Stoslova, who was 30 years his junior, and he wrote over 700 love letters to her.
That's inspiration.
That's inspiration. And the music, he talks about in these love letters how the music was directly stemming from his feelings for her. This was kind of an unrequited love relationship in that she was a married woman, and I think they were friends. But it was a true, true passion for him. And the music is just so intense. And when you read the letters and you compare it to what you're hearing,
it makes sense.
It's a whole nother world you're experiencing.
Sure.
So this is definitely the first way I've experienced Janacek.
That got my attention. like the juices. Anyway, let's not go
Who's
there.
Who's had 700 love letters written to them, right?
Well, imagine that.
Yes.
And then on top of that music, that clearly explains situations in a way that, in any event. So pipeline. Excuse me, what about next year? What do you have in mind? You always challenge yourselves in many ways. What 2016 is bringing to you?
We're actually just starting to plan what we want to do in 2016, 15, 16, the next season. And we usually work about a year ahead, both on our repertoire planning, securing engagements to play. We are actively gaining engagements at locations further afield. So we like to get out to other states. We like to play overseas. And we are planning on continuing our residency at University of Delaware, do a little more recruiting on behalf of the music department that will take us a little further afield. so that we can facilitate that for the department.
There you go.
But we're just in the planning stages now, and we are starting to secure some engagements already for the next season. That's fairly typical.
There you go.
Groups like ours.
And I was, you know what, mentally speaking, I was already in 2015, so I'm thinking about 2016. But in any event, it's just right there, because we're almost at the end of the year. This year has gone so fast. In any event, tell me about your violins. It got my attention that both of you have very special connections to those violins. So in the few minutes we have, how about sharing how and what you got?
Sure. Well, as Kate said, the quartet is named after her violin. But the three others of us are very fortunate to be playing on instruments from the Testore family, another instrument maker from the 1700s. Mm-hmm. So the violin I play is a Carlo Antonio Testore from 1741. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating working with a group of instruments that speak so closely in their voices. We can achieve such an amazing blend. And I know there have been a lot of recent science endeavors to say modern instruments are just the same, but they never compare them within the quartet. And when you get a group of four instruments speaking together in that kind of voice, there's nothing like it.
Nothing but to see and really witness what you guys bring to reality, Serafine String Quartet. Thank you very much for having the time today. And just a matter of going there and wishing you the best and a very successful new season. That's always the case. So you guys continue amazing people. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.